Last week, second Sunday of Easter, in our gospel lesson, we met Thomas in his doubts about Jesus. When his fellow disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord," Thomas said, you'll remember, "Unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails, I will never believe." Thomas, in effect, said, "I must see before I believe." Thomas wanted certainty on his terms. Thomas needed clarity on his terms. Now, certainty and clarity are good things. We can all relate to Thomas. And Thomas, of course, goes on to see the risen Lord Jesus. But the risen Lord tells Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Almost everyone else outside of the apostles and those early witnesses of the resurrection will come to faith like this, Jesus is saying. They will believe before they see. That's you and me. And believing before seeing is the normal Christian life. This is the life of faith. St. Paul put it like this. He said, "We walk by faith and not by sight." Now, of course, our faith is not a blind faith. It is not a foolish faith. It is based on reliable testimony of the apostles and the firm foundation of Holy Scripture. And faith is never aimless. We walk by faith. Sometimes we don't know fully where we're going. But the object of our faith is always the Lord. It's the Lord who made us, the Lord who saves us, the Lord who raised Jesus Christ from the dead for us. He is the object of our faith. But faith requires us to live without full clarity and certainty concerning the future. The life of faith requires us to live with a degree, sometimes a high degree, of uncertainty about the future. It requires us, to put it another way, it requires us to live with risk. Think about the root cause of anxiety for a moment. There's lots of ways I think we could talk about that. But really, what is happening in anxious moments and in seasons of heightened anxiety, there is a worry. Sometimes it's a general worry. Sometimes it's a very specific worry. There's a worry or fear about things that we cannot control in the future. So many of the big decisions that you face or will face will require you to take action without having 100% certainty or 100% clarity. So what do? By faith in God, you take a faithful step forward and get married, decide to take a new job, have children, take action and finally have a hard conversation that you've been putting off with a friend, or make a big financial investment. Whatever the case is, at some point you got to move. You've got to put faith into action. In all these areas I just mentioned and more we can think of, outcomes are never guaranteed. If we required full certainty before acting, we would never do anything. We would be paralyzed. But maybe be comforted that we are, you know, playing it safe and comforted that we are in control. But the Christian life is not a life of playing it safe. Think like this. We are living in a story that we have not written. We know the ending for those of us who believe in the resurrection, like Thomas and the disciples. We know the ending is a happy one and a good one for us, but we don't know what's coming in the next chapter. We don't even know what's coming on the next page, if we're honest. But we know the author of this story, and we trust him. Following Jesus, we expose ourselves to all kinds of risks. Jesus talks about specific risk. He says there's a risk of rejection. Many of you will face rejection, even from close loved ones. There's a risk of failure, at least in human terms. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. As a Christian, you are called to live this life. Not some other life, but this life, the one you're living now, your life, not your friend's life, not someone else's life. You're called to live this life of yours boldly by faith. That's the calling. Faith is kind of like a headlight on a dark road. When you drive down a dark road, you turn on your headlights. You can see enough in front of you to know what to do, but you can't see all the way down the road. You can't see everything. We often want to know all the steps, what all the steps are going to look like before we take the next step. But often, God only gives us the next step. The headlights only go so far so that we know to move there. And this brings us to Abram, or Abraham, as his name is changed later, who's considered the father of faith. In some ways, I think Abraham stands in contrast to Thomas, the doubting apostle. Thomas, again, demanded to see in order to believe, but Abraham believes in order to see. It's just the opposite. In this way, Abraham is the model for all of us. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." Now, this is a pivotal moment in the story of Genesis. There's been this universal descent of humanity into godless rebellion and chaos up to this point. But we move from a universal picture in which despair reigns to a very particular person, a person in whom hope comes to the world. And in spite of this universal human rebellion, God still intends to rescue his world. But he will do it not through some grand event or display of power, at least in this moment. He will do it through the faith of one man in his family. This man is Abram. Abraham, Father Abraham. It's through this man that God will bring his blessing, not just to him and his family and his immediate descendants, but to all the nations. God is going to do very, very big things through this one humble man who it seems that God has picked up out of the middle of nowhere. Abram and his family are blessed, as we read in Genesis chapter 12, to be a bearer of blessing to the world. And salvation history depends on what happens right here in Genesis chapter 12. So let's consider Abraham's faith a bit this morning. He had been settled with his family and extended family in Ur of the Chaldees. And what seemed like out of the blue, the Lord calls him to do something dramatic. And that is, go, leave. Now, if someone tells you, go, what might a very reasonable follow-up question be? Where? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go in order to receive this great blessing, Lord? Give me the location. Show me on the map, and then I'll consider. Maybe we can negotiate a bit the terms of this mission you have given me. I want to be certain that this place you're telling me to go is needs to be desirable, you know, or got it pretty good here in Ur. It needs to be a step up. Job market, I want to be sure that's good too. You know, got a family to feed. Want to be sure it's going to be a comfortable place to live. All that might be we might expect some kind of negotiation like that. But the Lord just says, go. And the grammar of this is actually really important. There's a command or an imperative, go. And then there's a future tense, to the land I will show you. But the point here is that Abram must make the first move in faith. So we read in verse 4 of chapter 12, Abram went, as the Lord had told him. This is another way of saying Abram believed God's promises, and he acted on it. Notice here that for Abram, there is a belief in the promises, but there is this action. There is this response in faith. Abram is showing us what Paul calls the obedience of faith. Abram didn't have the full picture, but he trusted God and obeyed in that moment. And all throughout the New Testament letters, Abraham's faith is celebrated as the model of faith. So we read from our epistle lesson, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And I love this part. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He took a step. He made a huge risk, but it was one of faithful obedience. And at least for a time, he did not know where he was going. All he knew is that he had to go, to be obedient, not knowing where he's going. The journey of the Christian faith often feels like this. We are called to venture out, not knowing where we are going, but only sure about one thing, that we are called to go. We are called to obey. This is another way of just simply saying we're called to obey the Lord, not fully knowing what all the consequences will be, not fully knowing what's coming next. But we're always, everywhere, called to put faith into action, trusting the Lord who calls us. From Abraham, we learn that faith really is a journey. And I know it's a bit of a tired cliche to talk about a faith journey and the faith journey, but I still can't think of a better way of putting it because of Abraham and his journey. The Christian faith, following Abraham, following our Lord, it's a wild journey. Now, I love to plan. As a kid, I could have told you exactly what I would be doing 20 years from that moment with very highly specific detail. Of course, it hadn't quite turned out like that, and that's for the better. At the beginning of every year, I love to dream and plan about what will happen in the coming calendar year. You know, chart it out, make goals, get a new planner, do all those things, feeling really great on January 2nd. You know, and by about the 4th or 5th, things start to change a little bit. Reality sets in. Dreaming and planning about the future are good things. Being prudent is a really good thing. But no matter how much we plan, we all know this, no matter how disciplined we might be towards our goals, we are never truly in control. And often we have to be humbled again and again and again to be reminded, nope, you're not in control. And so what do you need? You need faith in the Lord. We will always be required to move forward to whatever is next by faith in the one who truly is in control. And this is a lesson that we have to keep learning again and again and again in our lives as followers of Christ. The Abrahamic journey of faith, it challenges us to venture into the wilderness of God's plan, to the land that will be shown to us. Faith is a muscle that really is only trained when we are faced with uncertainty and lack of clarity. How will we respond in those moments where things feel pretty uncertain, a little dicey, precarious? What will we do in those moments? How will we trust? Who will we trust? And it's in those moments we must face our lack of resources and throw ourselves wholly on the Lord. This is the Abrahamic faith. This will not be the first time, by the way, that Abraham will be called to a bold move of faith. Actually, this first step of faith, though quite huge, is only training Abram for the next step of faith and his biggest test, which will come a few chapters on. If you know the story, we don't have time to get into it this morning, you know the Lord will put Abram through an ultimate test of faith down the road. But everything that's happening, it's training wheels for more and more and increased faith. Abraham is the father of faith in the Lord. And we are always on an Abrahamic journey of faith because we are always moving into a future that we do not control and one that we do not fully see. We are always moving into a future, as Paul puts it, by faith and not by sight. And a word for this Abrahamic faith, I think, is surrender. Abram has to surrender here in Genesis chapter 12. I mean, fully surrender. Everything that is familiar and secure. He also has to surrender, and he'll be called to do this again and again in the coming chapters of Genesis. He also has to surrender his future. But that surrender, life of surrender, it doesn't mean staying put. He moves. He moves on faith. Literally, he goes out, and spiritually, he's making moves. Faith is active, and faith is activated by surrender, surrendering to the Lord. And a faithful surrender is an act of obedience. Many of you know, most of you here probably know, that we at Holy Cross have been longing for a permanent space for some time now, for at least 4 years, quite seriously. We have prayed, saved a bit, been looking for land or some space that would maybe secure our long-term future. And that hasn't happened yet. From a human perspective, we can think about very real challenges, right? Market conditions are not what one would call favorable. And the reality is, just to kind of name a reality, a lot of people in our parish are priced out of affording to live right here in this community. The economics feel upside down. That's a real challenge. Another challenge is our size. Our parish is vibrant, amazing, strong, thank God, united, but we're still relatively small. So naturally, our collective resources pulled together compared to what we would like to see happen might seem mismatched. So yes, if we were walking by sight, the whole idea of a permanent space of any kind, much less a transcendent, beautiful space conducive for proper Anglican worship, might seem really out of reach. But brothers and sisters, we must believe that it is not out of reach by faith. We are called to trust that the Lord who has brought us to this point so faithfully, he will continue to guide us on our Abrahamic journey. He has provided for us so generously. We have an amazing provision right now in this place, in Brownsville. I am so glad that we have this place to worship in. Isn't it amazing that we have a place to go and worship where we have plenty of space that's somewhat convenient, where we have wonderful staff and relationship with the principal and the custodian in the county, how accommodating they have been for us. This, you know, a lot of people, when we think about space, is it going to be good for children? My goodness, this building was built for children, right? I mean, a lot of great kids love being here, by the way. Just go after the service to the gym and you will see a lot of happy kids running around enjoying themselves. It's a wonderful playground. We can spread out here. There's places for Sunday school and children's ministry. And yes, we have to set up and that takes its toll and it can be tiring. Trust me, I know. But this is a provision. God has been kind and generous to us. He was kind and generous to us when he gave us a living room in 2017, where we crammed into and we did our best to pull together something of an Anglican worship service in a living room. He was kind and generous to us when he led us to an event barn, where we enjoyed this newly built, beautiful structure and enjoyed the amazing singing, declaring God's praises. And we outgrew it, and he was even kind when we went to a brewery. A strange stop on our journey. But it was where the Lord led us. I was telling someone about where we have met as our church. And it's like, yeah, and we met in a brewery. And I was like, but like, we're not like that kind of a church. Like, we're not like trying to be cool. Like it literally was the only place we could go in that moment. And it was providential because COVID hit and we could organize it in a way where we could welcome people in. So some of us are anxious about the future and where we're going to be. And I get that. I share a lot of that. But let's be sure we are grateful that what God has given us. And as we are considering the future and hope and have big plans and aspirations about what God might give us, let us give thanks for where we are right now and the provision that this good place is. And let us think, how can we make it better? We might be here yet for a little bit longer. How can we make this place better, more beautiful, more conducive for worship, more friendly to newcomers, more welcoming, more hospitable? And if you're not a part of a setup team, how can I jump in and maybe reduce some of the load on the setup and everything that goes into this or serve in other ways? God has been kind to us on this journey. And it's important to recount all of that so that we can continue to trust that he will keep leading us in his time, in his way, on his terms. We can't force these things. We can't force God's hand. We must surrender, and surrender by faith. It has been our collective discernment, however, over the last few years, through countless conversations, 3 official surveys, 2 feasibility studies, 4 listening sessions, that yes, indeed, permanent space is critical to our long-term future. We have discerned this. We have prayed about this. The vestry has spent hours upon hours upon hours thinking and strategizing and praying, considering how in the world can we move forward, given some of the real limitations that we have. We're on an Abrahamic journey. We trust that the Lord has given us this discernment, not so that he can trick us or mislead us or discourage us, but that he can call us into what's next, call us to step out to the place he will show us. We need to move forward in faith boldly, trusting that God will show us the land or the place, wherever it is, but that he will do it. He will do it in his way and in his time. But like Abraham, let us remember, clarity from the Lord often comes after we take a few faithful steps forward. One of the ways Scripture trains us into this kind of faith, trusting God with our future by taking an initial step of faith, is what's called first fruits. In Scripture, first fruits, it's a practice and a principle of giving God the first and the best, not what's left over, but the first and the best. First fruits is an offering that we give before we see. So in the agrarian culture, first fruits would be a portion of that first harvest in anticipation of a full final harvest, dedicated to the Lord, though, from the beginning. You do this because you want to bring tribute and honor the one who is sovereign and Lord over all. But before first fruits is a financial gift or a material gift, it is a spiritual act of faith. It is a down payment of faith. And Abraham's life, in many ways, is an illustration of this. His entire life is an offering in faith. And he has some missteps, by the way. But the overall trajectory is one of offering his life in faith. He's an example of a first fruits faith. He gives himself to the Lord first before he sees the land that God shows him. One faithful step forward that we are taking as a parish is the launch of what we're calling the First Fruits Fund. This fundraising effort over the next couple of years will be part of our Abrahamic journey of faith to the place we trust God will show us. That will require Abrahamic faith and faithful giving towards what we cannot quite yet see. But this will be our next step, an exercise of first fruits faith. We're going to be sharing more details in the coming weeks and inviting the parish into this faith journey together. Let me say, I'm excited about this. I trust that the Lord has brought us to this point in his good plan, and he will continue to provide for us. But I want to go back to Abram for a moment. Abram does something significant on this journey to the land God will show him. What does he do? What does he do? Look at verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham, or Abram, and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." He goes out on a journey, and there he is. All right, here it is. So what does he do? So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And then Abram goes between Bethel and Ai. Father Lawrence reminded me that Ai is in the Bible. Yes, we all were shocked. It's been there all along. And he builds another altar. He's mapping out the land that God's eventually going to give him and his descendants, and he's doing it by worshiping. An altar is a place of sacrifice and worship, a place to call upon the name of the Lord. In anticipation of this promised land, Abraham worships. He builds altars, places of worship connected to the land. One day there's going to be a temple built, a permanent space. But Abram sets up these temporary altars in advance. On our Abrahamic journey of faith, we continue to set up temporary altars. But we're doing real church now. We don't have to wait to do real church. until we get to that place. We're doing real ministry now. Now, we don't offer literal sacrifices, of course not, but we do celebrate the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ every week. And we, like Abram, we call upon the name of the Lord as we come together in worship and wherever we gather for worship. Worship will always be essential to the Abrahamic journey of faith. Corporate worship will be essential to this, coming together as the people of God. Our corporate worship together is the continuous thread that has been part of our life from the beginning and will carry us to the place that God will one day show us. A bold and resolute trust in the Lord, following the father of our faith, Abraham, this is an essential pillar for a faithful future, for our lives individually, and for Church of the Holy Cross. Christian life is a life of Abrahamic faith. God calls us first in salvation and in a million different ways throughout our life. God calls us without telling us everything that will happen. And that's part of the point. This is where faith is grown. This is where we learn to meet the Lord. But by his grace, we are to respond always continually in faithful obedience. The trajectory of our life should be like the trajectory of Abraham. Again, not perfect, but one faithful step after another. So as we're to zoom out, by God's grace, we can see in his provision, it is a life, a testimony to God's provision as he has given us faith to trust him each step along the way. We go. We respond. And he gives us what we need to see when we need to see it. This is a growth area for me, let me confess. I often pray for clarity, but I've realized recently, you know what? Sometimes the Lord isn't interested in giving me clarity. He's interested in me responding in obedience. And clarity may or may not come the way that I want it. It's fine to pray for clarity. And it's wonderful, like, when we get it. But we don't always get it. And again, that's the point. We're to move forward in faith. He gives us what we need when we need it. And we worship him along the way during this journey, however long it takes. Abraham obeyed, Hebrews tells us. He obeyed and went out not knowing where he was going. But God led Abraham as he took these steps of faith. So let us look to the God of our father Abraham, our father in the faith, trusting that the Lord will lead us in all the different unresolved personal circumstances we are facing right now and in our parish, that he will show us the land, the place that he has for us. And finally, he will lead us to our heavenly home as he has promised to do. Amen.